Welcome to the first episode of the Born to Trade podcast. Joining me today is Kojo Forex. Kojo, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. It's an absolute pleasure to see you again. It's good to have you, and I'm excited to have this conversation with you today. Your journey from your starts of trading to, you know, what you're doing now with your education is truly amazing. And obviously, I want our listeners to understand a little bit more. But before we jump in, I want to give you some quick fire questions so we can understand you a little more and your journey a little better. So what would you say would be your most memorable trade that you've ever made?
So the very one that I recount so much is a gold trade, right? And then it's more memorable for me because I carried the whole community along. And then it was a trade that actually made me a wholesome amount of money, right? Maybe not to mention it, but like it was taking gold entry from 2100 and then riding it all to 2200, which was pretty much of a of the way I trade, a swing trader. That was latter part of last year. Yeah.
What do you do outside of trading to relax and recharge?
So I will typically just listen to music a lot and then read a lot as well. Trading, philosophy, just self-help, finance.
What's one thing you do before starting your trading to stay in control?
I listen to music, actually.
Listen to music.
Yeah, and I zone out. Just like have my huge headsets and then don't want to talk to anybody.
The proper just meditation, you know, calm down, understand. What's a trading tool that you cannot live without?
I actually have two. One is just one that everybody knows, the Fibonacci tool. I love it a lot. And then the second one is a very custom-built tool, right? And it's more like an Asian session range picker for me. Yeah, those are like very personalized tools.
What would you say is one habit that is essential to successful trading?
Yeah, I'd say discipline generally. Like it forms part of the core foundation of my success. Yeah, but not entirely.
Got it. Would you say that you've had discipline throughout your entire trader journey, or you developed it at a specific juncture?
I developed it. And then the way I went about developing it is normally the unusual way that every trader would. You know, I started trading very early, all the way in 2012. And then I knew that I was going to make it a career path. And from early on, I knew that if I was going to be very successful at this, I needed to have my discipline extremely well in check. And guess the most upset thing I did, I went to the military also in inspiration that I'm going to build an extreme discipline that will be very useful in trading.
You joined the military to help your trading. That's an interesting, interesting path. So you mentioned that you started trading in 2012.
Yes.
Would you say at some point, or do you remember that kind of the point where you stopped learning from, or you stopped making mistakes and that you felt that you had actually had a system that was working for you? I mean, was there a specific time period? That
was in 2019. Right.
7 years later.
Yeah, everything came together properly for me in 2019. And it started really paying off in 2020.
Okay. That's it's an incredible journey. But I mean, the fortitude to stick with it for 7 years, yes, to really see it out. I mean, I guess that some discipline as well. So the discipline, not only in your trading, but in your, you know, your mental attitude. Look, Kojo, the reason why we're here today is we have a big question, a big debate that we've all been discussing. And it's whether traders are born to trade or they become good traders. In your opinion, are traders born with the skills to be successful, or do they develop them over time?
If I'd be very honest, I'd say it's a little bit, it rubs off a little bit on both ends. Sometimes you're just born with some natural, I'd say, characteristics, right? Or abilities that just comes in handy with the whole ecosystem of trading. You know, generally we have people that are very reserved and calm and people that are very extroverted. And then it's also not just because they learned it from somewhere. It's just genetically inbuilt. They're just naturally calm, regardless of how crazy of a risk or anything is approaching. They just want to always, be very smooth with the most intense situation they are faced. They are always just calm. And if you're somebody that just has that naturally, you know, if you're trading, you may not necessarily have to have learned that, but just because you were born that way, it just comes off that way for you as well. But for somebody who's like always on the edge, then they would have to like now learn to be calm in a situation like that. Those people would see a drawdown and like, what should I do? Should I close the trade and, you know, panic all? So I think that is the natural part, right? And then the learning part comes with the discipline to just, you know, hold on to trades and then just following proper risk management and just following the autonomous process of trading and then being in a routine and a consistent basis. Those ones, I'd say that you cannot entirely be born with them. You have to like learn them as well.
I hear you. I mean, for me, I've always found, at least in my through my career of trading, I've found that there's certain, let's say, mindsets that are more predisposed to being successful. Generally, people coming from like an engineering background or more of like a mathematical background, I find that they have a better chance to succeed. But ultimately, I believe that there's skill sets that either you have in you or you have to adapt and create them or develop them in order to be successful. Going back to your early stages, so you mentioned that you started in 2012 and you had a journey of nearly 7 years before really things clicked. Let's talk about that journey. What were some challenges that you faced along that path and what were the things that you did to overcome those challenges?
2012 was a very interesting year for me. Also, generally, in that year, trading was not as relevant as it is now in my sub-region. Right. And not a lot of academies even existed for you to go and then say, I want to learn how to trade and all of that. For me, the inspiration came from wanting to make an extra income. Right. And then I was just looking online that, okay, how can I make an extra income? And then the very suggestion that stood out for me was online trading, because I kind of find myself to also be very introverted. So the mere fact that it related more with online and then not really having to deal with a lot of people synced well with me. And then also I'd say my background in accounting and finance also did play a role, because during the same year, I was also studying at the Ghana Stock Exchange and I was learning about stock trading and everything. So just learning about stock trading and then coming to finally stumble on Forex, it was like a perfect match for me, even though they have different general relation, they kind of relate similarly in a particular way. So it was just that moment that this got me really glued to it, right? But the initial process was just like making an extra income, you know, and I was excited about the tiny bit of money that I was making in trading, just because it was more of supplementing income than a main thing. You know, I kind of find people coming into trading today with I want to make a lot of money. I want to just buy the big cars and stuff like that. But for me, it was a motivation of, okay, my parents are supporting me with, let's say, $100. I want to make an extra $50 to just support my own self. I had just reached that point where I felt like I need to be able to create money for myself. So trading became like that means that I felt like I could depend on to break off from just too much dependency on my parents. But going deeply into it, also I realized that I can actually make a huge career out of it. And that also made me to incline more towards a professional aspect of like trading than just like what the normal average retail trader would do. So it made me also read a lot of books about the professionals, talk about the George Soros's, Stanley Druckenmiller's and all of those things. So I just like read and delved deep into their affairs, and I realized that, okay, there's like the retail aspect and then there is the institutional aspect. Obviously, if you want to do very well, you have to be a retail, especially on the level that inclines more towards the institutional approach. You're not going to be entirely perfect because obviously you don't have the inner details of whatever is going on there. But at least if you try to, then you have more chances of like succeeding than not at all. So yeah, from 2012 to 2016 was more of a learning period for me, and also was the school going years. And then 2016, I was done with university, and that was where I came into the real world. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with the trading skills now? And then, you know, the journey continues from there.
But it's definitely an unconventional path. You know, most people, they're students. I've been there, and I'm just thinking about a part-time job working at a store. And you're thinking about trading. So yeah. Obviously you're already kind of two steps ahead of the game in that regard. So let's dive a little deeper, Kojo, on discipline. So the way I see with discipline, for me primarily with trading, is more from a risk management perspective. You know, I open my trade, I know my entry point, but more importantly, I know what my exit points are. And being disciplined to stick to those exit points, not increasing my take profit, not, you know, adding to my stop loss, more or less putting good money in after bad money. What's your take on discipline directly with trading, let's say new traders or even experienced traders? Where do you see discipline failing them or things they've done to not be disciplined?
So for most people, rather than just like be accountable to discipline, right? I find them rather hiding at the notion of suffering from trading psychology. because I always say that for me, I don't believe in trading psychology. And then I get people asking me why, because I'm like, if you take care of risk management, right, which boils down also to like discipline, your discipline of following that risk management approach, then you're not going to necessarily have to like deal with psychological aspect that comes with trading, like, okay, taking this loss and then I'm not able to hold this trade and stuff like that. And then it all boils down to, like, I tell my mentors, my mentees and people that are trained that, like, if you think about trading, right, your trading account, and then let's say on a regular, you want to just open a trade, there's no external person that's going to open a position for you. You are the one that is going to do that. And before you do that, like, you're literally not under any pressure to determine how much you're willing to risk, right? For most people, they think from the benefit, the profit, how much they are anticipating to gain. But I go on the reverse, like, how much I'm willing to risk. Well, it could also be based off my background from accounting, because in accounting, we always anticipate for losses when preparing our financials than for profit. And I just related the same concept with trading. So if I have, let's say, a $10,000 account and I'm trading, I'm more thinking about, okay, with this setup, how much am I willing to risk? Okay, 2% or 1%. And if that 2% is $200, I'm psychologically already coming to tune with it that, am I okay with losing $200 if this setup goes wrong? And once I'm okay with it, then I have no issue to deal with psychology.
So let's talk about this, yeah, like risk management. So yeah, generally recommend to your mentees risking 2% of their investment, or what is per trade? What is the normal risk to reward ratio as well that you're generally suggesting?
My normal risk to reward is normally 1-3 per the setup I take. But when it comes to like trading positions, and then my recommendation for what they are willing to risk, it would normally not be anything more than 4%. I would normally peg it at like risking 2%, 3% per positions. But even with that, I also have a way of just like orienting them again with the skills they get, right? So the initial 2%, 3% is just like as a beginner, because obviously you got to keep consistent with that. But the moment you've had your foot on the ground, right, then that's where I'd pick a cue that I studied from George Soros, who say, go for the juggler, you know, which is like, you know, when you found opportunity that just makes perfect sense, there's no point in just risking 1%, 2%. It's not going to perhaps like make you the most money you're looking for. So, but obviously you have to have honed your skills and be good enough, you know, to reach that point where you feel like you are entitled to going for the juggler. Yeah.
All right, Kojo. So, you know, I know that you're creating a lot of content, and I've seen some of your videos, and it's quite impressive. I mean, I love that you combine the education, but also with the inspiration. So really well done there. I was watching one of your videos and it caught my ear. This goat strategy.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
You know, people jump from one trading system to the other, right? And it was also like what I experienced, you know, in my early years, I was like looking for that one strategy, right? Everybody's always looking for that one thing that is going to be not just like profitable in the short term, but like consistently profitable over a long period of time. And then I just set myself out to like do an intensive research into finding a system that is going to withstand all trading conditions and market, you know, conditions as well. And then also stand the test of time over a considerably long period of time. Because for me, if you don't have that, then you don't have a career in trading generally, you know, and it's not so many people have thought about it in that line. If you're working as a trader, then you got to have like an approach that you kind of feel trusted in, that like 1 year is going to be this way, or let's say relating it specifically to a year, 2024, I'll approach the market this way. 2025, the same way. 2026, I'm not going to like switch and say suddenly it's not working for me and all of that. So that's just how the evolution of the GOAT strategy comes in. And then that's like the greatest of all time strategy. So the GOAT is just like the greatest of all time. And then it's like me combining all my previous experiences and things that I'd learned from books, and then also real time on the market, and coming up with like a comprehensive price action strategy that just could withstand every market condition. And then I called it the GOAT strategy.
I mean, trading can be extremely stressful.
Yeah.
It can be chaotic, particularly when, you know, you have a money at risk, an investment at risk. What do you do to manage your stress levels, or how do you keep zen during stressful trading times?
So that was also one of the core approach that made me evolve into the GOAT strategy, right? So the GOAT is ultimately the swing trading strategy of mine. Nonetheless, I have the day trading strategy, right? So talking about the landing session and all the scenarios I was given, it was entirely related to the day trading, right? So I have like a routine of just trading the landing session and just watching it entirely on the 15 minute, just catching that quick volatility just sets in the morning. And then I have like me watching the 4 hour to take swing trades where I'll just take it and then just put my stop loss, set my take profit, and then just chill out for the rest of the day. The day trading became too stressful at a point, right? Having to like always wake up and then sit by the chart waiting for that very moment to strike. And that was just what motivated me to want to just like upgrade, or I'd say increase the time frame at which I was watching the market, which led me to watching the 4 hours, which is more calmer and relaxed. So in terms of approach, I'll just say like, you probably have to start watching the higher time frame, right? For one, anybody that's like still stressed about the market and want to think about how to be calm, and then they're watching the 5 minute, 1 minute, and saying trading is crazy and stressful. Probably have to like orient themselves to gradually start watching the market from the 1 hour, 4 hour, and even the daily if possible, you know.
Zoom out a little bit.
Yes, zoom out a little bit. And then I'd say the other bit of it for me though is I just listen to music, right? And when I'm trading, and then it just keeps me calm. So I just say like, that's like one ritual.
Music's your pre-trading and sometimes mid-trading.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to what I've seen a lot of traders, I've seen with myself personally is revenge trading. You know, what is your suggestion for new traders that necessarily haven't learned how to manage their, let's say, stress levels or manage all the emotions that come with trading and feel that they have to jump back in the market? I have to get this money back. I have to get this money back, because this can be quite deadly.
Well, when it comes to revenge trading, I'd just say that it's only obviously an inexperienced person that will just like fall for such a behavior or just go through such a process. I mean, with experience, you just realize that every trading setup and market conditions are different. So if you've seen a setup that seemed like obviously inclining with your trading strategy, and then you took that position and it didn't go well, and instantly just because you lost money, you want to just like double down on it, then you're messing up the whole process. So I think that generally the people just have to understand that like there are losses in the market, right? And your system is not a holy grail. And once you just accept it from that inception point, you just know that, okay, this setup was wrong, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the next one is going to be wrong as well. And my technical approach is that I have something I call the path of least resistance, right?
Path of least resistance.
Yes. And it kind of makes sense in a way that, let's say there is a resistance level here, right? And then there is another one here, right? And then based on my conviction or based on my technicals, the initial resistance level was where I was anticipating the market, you know, to reverse. And I take a position there and then it hits my stop loss, right? Then suddenly I'm anticipating that, okay, if it's not willing to reverse at this initial one, then it's probably approaching this one, right? So rather than just instantly revenge and say, okay, let me just, you know, start doubling down or adding more to my losses, I just calm down and wait for the market to just get to that next relevant range, and that would be more reasonable for me to look for a setup. So I'd say that honing that skill just lets you know that finding that right entry in the market is more important than just suddenly wanting to revenge or just get back at the market for a loss you took without any thought process accompanying it. Yeah.
But see, the thing is, I've always felt that, you know, all the education's out there, all the analysis is out there, trading signals, whatever you want to call it, you could have the access to the best information. But, you know, if you're not disciplined and you're not exercising good risk management, you're never going to be successful. So in your professional opinion, I mean, how would you suggest for any trader, maybe advanced or beginner, we can all be undisciplined. How do we learn these skills, and how do we get educated on this? Because it's probably one of the more complex aspects of trading.
Trading for me, it's more of an apprenticeship than than theoretical approach or like getting a degree where you know that, okay, you got to just learn this and pass and then you're going to get your hands in and get like, because apprenticeship is like, you're just following your mentor, your master, and then you're learning from like year one, year two, year three, then you get better. And even after you've got better at it, there's still like more for you to personally discover in your journey. And then I always like to box trading more in the art form than the science. And then bringing the art form means that like there's always something to discover for yourself in a way that makes more meaning to you than just the rest of the world. And you can only discover that by going in that personal journey or personal approach. You know, so for anybody who wants to like really think about discipline and then like, I'd say, controlling their discipline or getting their discipline in shape, they just have to understand that it's not going to happen in one day, in one week, in one year, right? And you don't have to be so hard with yourself. You have to like take it in a step-by-step approach and then just always allow yourself some considerable room to just build that character that you want. You know, for me in particular, I did suffer with that a lot. You know, sometimes we just appear as we're perfect and then suddenly it's like Kojo. But I just remember in 2018, 2019, when I would be like so hard with myself because I wanted to be so disciplined and focused. I wanted to always wake up around a certain time. I wanted to take a trade when the market closes at a particular time or when the candle confirmation closes. But I would always go contrary to that and I'd be so hard to myself. I'd sometimes like beat myself to it like, Are you dumb, Kojo? Why are you not following this? If you keep up doing this, you're not going to be successful. You know, so yes, I was a little bit like hard with myself, but I always allowed myself some room to improve. And over the years, I just could see and realize like how it changed me over time. And then that's just how, you know, it comes together to make you a one whole package of disciplined person.
Do you believe that there's maybe habits that one can take on a daily basis to start improving their discipline?
Perhaps. I'd say if you do write a lot, you know, or you could say in a more formal way, journal, right? I used to keep a diary, right?
Now, a trade journal or a personal, if you don't?
Both. Mm. Both, actually. Okay. You know, so my trade journal was also my personal journal as well, you know, because like I inculcated trading in my whole life and affairs. So If I want to be disciplined, I'm just writing down that like you got to be disciplined, stay true to yourself. I've posted a few pictures like that on social media where I'm repeatedly writing, stay disciplined, like more than 100 times.
Got it,
and like,
it.
It's like I'm going crazy, but like those routines just made it like more ingrained in my brains and then just like well planted with me. So
discipline, consistency, staying true to yourself. So look, after everything that we've covered today, Kojo, where do you stand on the debate that we have? So are traders born or are they made? Or can they be made?
I'll put it in a percentage basis, right? 70 to 80% naturally born instincts that accompanies it and then 20 to 30% being made, you know, if it makes sense.
Okay, it does. Yeah. But those 70 that are, they're not necessarily, you're saying they're born or they're born with the skills.
I've always told people that when it comes to trading, you never really know that you're going to be a good trader until you actually start trading, you know, because like there's not like a trader obviously written on anybody's forehead walking around. But once you present them the technicals and market and then like they're faced with the real market conditions, they put in real capital to it and then it's for them, they know. If it's not for them, they know. And for the people that easily know that it's for them, you can align that with the being born for it. Like they're naturally like aggressive. They're naturally open to risk. They're naturally like intuitive in nature. You know, it comes to them naturally. But for some people like, I don't want this. But maybe they're faced with some tough financial conditions or some circumstances that still wants them to, you know, adapt to the most difficult situation just to still be a trader. So for those people, you can say that they're not necessarily born to trade, but they still want to trade anyway. So that's why I'm leaving room for the fact that you can still hone your skills to reach that level and then not say that, okay, there are a sect of selected group of people who are born to trade. So if you're not, then you cannot trade.
So looking back to the day that you opened your first trade, were you the 70% with the skill set or you were the 30% that
I'd say the 70. I'd say intuition have played a very key role in my trading, you know, and it has happened in so many scenarios that sometimes are difficult to generally explain. So I've had moments where I'd close a trade and then it's not even come from any technical perspective. My inner like mind is just telling me like, it's not good. And I'd have like my inner circle asking me, why did you close this trade? Or why did you? I'm like, it's hard to explain. So I kind of find those things that are like that innate part of it that comes with trading, you know. But I also believe that for anybody that establishes a long-term relationship with a market, like I have been watching market like from obviously 2012. So if consistently from 2012 to 2019 or 2020, I've still been at the same thing, it could possibly be that the continuous relationship I formed with the market was what just honed that thing that I call intuition or instinct.
I fully agree that people can develop a synergy with the markets.
And right.
So before we wrap up, would you say, is there one actionable piece of advice that you would give to traders that are trying to improve their skills or that maybe lack the confidence to start trading?
I'd say if it comes to that, I always put it in two ways, right? Do you want trading to be like a side gig, a side income thing, or you want it to be a main thing? And where you find yourself determines the effort and approach to it, right? For somebody who's in a corporate space, they're just wanting to make an extra bit of income. Going all in with trading may not be as intensive as somebody who has dedicated that I really want to build a career in trading. So finding out about that early on as a beginner is very important. You know, for some people, they have not got to the point where they have the ability to take on that initial risk of just quitting their job and say, okay, I want to go into this. And then they're just weighing the options to see. And sometimes it's not so clear for you when you're on that path, right? Because like you're very engrossed with what you're currently doing, whether your work is extremely demanding. And then you're thinking that, okay, just because you have like some 1 hour or 2 hour for the market, you can literally entirely quit your job and then come to the market. It can be a big mess up. But if you're able to disseminate that, okay, I want to be a full-time trader, and then you have to also understand the entirety of what being called a full-time trader
sacrifices.
Means. The sacrifices.
Yeah, the journey.
And then the journey, and then the risk, you know, and then the natural aspect of it, right? And maybe it's not the best way to put it, but when I say natural, I'm like, if you are a full-time trader, you're basically taking care of every affairs that your corporation would have taken care for you if you're working. Like if you're a full-time trader, you got to take care of your own insurance, you got to take care of your medical expense, your entertainment, your...
Self-employed.
Exactly, self-employed. Yes, you have to think about trading from a self-employed angle. And then from there on, you can now like, you know, position yourself properly. That will lead you to success. So I say that once one is able to like initially determine that, okay, this is the path, maybe I want it to be a side income, then they're not going to put as much effort. But for anybody who wants to make it a full-time, then they probably have to think it like the way you said, rightly, self-employed, and then think about the entirety of a self-employed person and deal.
So the key, yeah. I mean, it's just identifying what the goals are first.
Yes.
Definitely. Yes. And that's the thing. It's, I think a lot of people's goals are maybe not staying true to themselves. You know, it's the goals of other people or what society wants them to have. And this can be a problem as well, kind of setting themselves up for failure, if you will. So interesting stuff, Gojo. And I do thank you for your time. With that being said, for our listeners who are looking for mentorship, things like this, tell us about how people can find you.
On my social media, I just go by the name Kojo Forex, KOJOFOREX. It's just one word on all social platforms. And also, you can also follow XNES, right? If you want to keep up with macroeconomic, micro, and then even trade biases and directions as well on social media, Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
And YouTube as well. I mean, amazing videos, well produced, I got to say. So, all right. Awesome. Well, Kojo, I thank you for your time and the insights. And this has been great. With that being said, thank you to our audience for listening. And we would appreciate if you could support this podcast and leaving us a ratings review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Thank you.